have a whole concept, a new concept for the band too. Christian Reveal last night. Yeah, I'd actually turn the van into like a musical thing rather than just camping or anything like that. It'll be just like a whole traveling musical. It's really exciting. Yeah. Because what attracts people is music. Much more. Yeah. Yeah, so the people who are attracted to that. And the philosophy, you know, if they can give up eating meat, maybe they can understand it. But as long as they have meatheads, it's very hard. So, but the chanting the Lord's holy names with musical accompaniment, you playing the guitar, and Ishwara Chaitanya playing the bass. Sounds really interesting. And you need a good keyboard, man. with big speakers on it. That's the next latest plan. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyavihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyavihari. Gopi jana malaba hiribaru dauti. Gopi jana malaba hiribaru dauti. Yasoda Nandana Pradajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Pradajana Ranjana Yamuna Teravanachari. Yamuna Che Ravana Chauti. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyavihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyavihari. Gopi jana palagava iribaru dauti. Gopi nanamalapa iribaru dauti. Iribaru dauti. Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Te Rabana Chari. Yamuna Te Rabana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyavihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Pranamahamsa Paramahamsa, also Tedda, Sutashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Channada Bhaktivedanta, Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Shabhupada Kijai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Shabhuridas Thakur Kijai, Ren Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Parabhu Nichananda, Shidweta Garadha, Shibasidhi Gold, Bhaktivedanta Kijai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopika, Nath Shankunda Kunda Giddy Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna Stai Guru Srila Stasis Bhati, Stasis in the Bhati, Prashadadish. Okay, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asaridvihi Sangataha Sindush Chukshoba Swasanormiman Apakva Yoganash Chitang Kamaktam Guna Yuj Yata Saridbi Sangata Sindhush Chukshoba Swasanor Niman Nor Niman of Hakva Yoginas Chittam Kamaktam Guna Yujjata. Saridbi Sangata Sindhush Chukshoba Swasanormiman Apakva Yoginas Chittam Kamaktam Guna Yujata Saridbi Sangata Sindhush Chukshoba Swasanormiman Apakva Yoginas Chittam Kamaktam Guna Yujata. Okay.
You
Okay. So did be with the rivers. Sangataha on account of meeting. Sindhu, the ocean. Chukshobha became agitated. Shvasana, blown by the winds. Urmiman, having waves. Abhakva, immature. Yoganaha, of a yogi. Chittam, the mind. Kamaktam, tainted with lust. Gunayuk, maintaining connection with objects of sense gratification. Yata, just as. Translation, when the rivers joined the ocean, it became agitated, its waves blown about by the wind. Just as the mind of an immature yogi becomes agitated because he is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification. You can repeat. Where the rivers join the ocean, it became agitated. Its waves blown about by the wind. Just as the mind of an immature yogi becomes agitated because he is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification. So there's no purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, but there's a purport or an explanation by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The Sindhu River, mixing with the smaller rivers, becomes disturbed with turbulent waves. The use of masculine gender for Sindhu instead of feminine is traditional usage. The desires in the yogi's heart, kamastam, are compared to the waves. The desires arise from the contact with the material objects, guna yuk, just as the waves arise from the merging of the smaller rivers. And Jiva Goswami says, there is mention of the ocean, though it does not exist in Vrindavana, in order to describe the nature of the monsoon. However, the word ocean can be taken as like the ocean. There is a huge lake called Kutara with power like Manasa Ganga at the western edge of the Mathura district. Interesting. So I guess I'll also read Prabhupada's translation of this verse from here. So in the rainy season, when the rivers swell and rush to the ocean, as the wind blows the waves about, the ocean appears to be agitated. Similarly, if a person engaged in the mystic yoga process is not very advanced in spiritual life, he can be affected by the modes of nature and thus will be agitated by the sex impulse. And so Prabhupada has a very short purport here. A person fixed in spiritual knowledge will not be attracted by the allurement of material nature in the form of beautiful women and the sex pleasure enjoyed in their association. One, however, who is still immature in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge may be attracted at any moment by the illusion of temporary happiness. Just as the ocean is agitated by the rushing rivers and blowing wind that occur during the rainy season, it is therefore very important to fix oneself at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master who was a representative of God, so that one will not be carried away by sex agitation. And again, the verse. Sarit bi sangata sadush chuksho ba swashanor mimang abhakvag yoginas chitam kamakam aguna yuj yata. So, omagana timananda shaganjana shilakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasmai shigarve namaha. I just want to make one point before we start talking about this danger in spiritual life. Although the references and the statements here are made in relationship to men being attracted to women, I want to make reference to something Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, for men, women are women, and for women, men are women. I'm going to unpack that statement. Don't worry. This is not some modern version of cross-dressing, you know, or drag for men. So what this statement actually means is that all of us are by nature prakriti. Prakriti, in one sense, can mean female. It means the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all of us are, that doesn't mean that all of us in the spiritual world have gopi bodies. That's a different thing. But Krishna is the only Purusha. Ekala Isra Krishna, Ara Sabda Vricha. Krishna is the supreme male, and all of us are dominated over by the predominator, who is Krishna. So therefore, even though these statements here appear to be biased, you know, the women are somehow or other seen as like people who can drag your mind away from Krishna consciousness. It was kind of funny. So that means your mind wasn't there anyway. So even though the depictions are like that, the reason for that is the particular culture in which these Vedic literatures were written was basically a culture in which was based in not in the cities, but in the farms or in the country. And so therefore the women and men had certain duties in life that were based upon their particular geographical situation. You know, when you're in the country and the man's going out and chopping the firewood and he doesn't have a chainsaw, and the woman stays home and takes care of the kids. So obviously, you know, there tends to be a male-based emphasis in the Vedic literatures. And it's not that women cannot become Krishna conscious as much as men. It's not that women cannot become gurus as much as men can be, or people in male bodies. I don't even want to say women or men. I just want people to say living entities in different bodies, because the body is inconsequential. It's not important. As Lord Chaitanya states, kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kena noi. Yay, Krishna Tattva Veta, say Guru Hoy. So if someone understands the science of Krishna, the essence of that verse is that if one understands the science of Krishna, it doesn't matter what type of body he has. I'm purporting that particular verse. It's not just that, you know, if you're a Shudra, if you're a sannyasi or a Vipra, whatever, then you can know the science, if you know the science of Krishna. It's just the essence of that verse is anybody who knows the science of Krishna can become guru. Although sometimes those people who are accustomed, now comes the politics, to a chauvinistic viewpoint, they take that to mean that, yes, the ladies can be shiksha gurus, but not diksha gurus. But that's not stated anywhere. It's not stated anywhere. The ladies should have equal facility for becoming Krishna conscious. We're in a different culture. We're not in the farm. The man's not out all day long plowing the fields. I can't even get the flower garden taken care of, what to speak of plowing the fields. You know, we have a lady plowing, not even plowing, taking care of the flower garden. Can't even get the weeds pulled up. You know, so it's a different situation. You know, in different situations, you have different divisions of labor. That's practical, right? And of course, the Varnashram division is always there. I mean, always you got Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, and Shudras. And that applies to both men and women. You have women who are Brahmins. You have women who are Vaishyas. You have women who are Shudras. You have women who are Kshatriyas. I mean, just like that story of Prabhupada tells about this man who was less of a Kshatriya than his wife. So he was a king once upon a time. And this king went out to fight a battle. Now, the Kshatriyas, they're not supposed to come back from a battle unless they've won or unless they're dead. Of course, they can't come back if they're dead. But I understand. At least the body comes back, or at least severely injured. So this man went out to fight a battle, you know, fight, fight, fight. And what happened is that he came back, you know, because I guess he was a little coward or something. And his wife, being more of a Kshatriya than him, what did she do? She drew up the gates to the, because I guess they had moats and everything at that particular time. So she told all the people, yeah, this probably told the story, but I'm elaborating on it a little bit. She had all the what do you call those gates that come up? Drawbridges. She had all the drawbridges brought up. And the poor guy said to his wife, you know, let me in, honey. And she said, you are not my husband. you heard the story before, of course. You're not, because my husband would not come back unless he had been severely injured or had won the battle. You're just a wimp. So the guy, you know, getting renewed strength from his wife, went out and fought, and he came back, and he won the battle, and the wife said, now you're my husband. So what I take from that story is that the women are Kshatriyas, too. I mean, obviously, she was more of a Kshatriya. And, you know, Brahmins, too, you know, that. And, I mean, you have so many stories of how the women are great preachers, women are gurus in our sampradaya. There's so many instances of this. And so to deny people service on account of their body is horrendous. So anyway, so we're all female in relationship to Krishna in an ontological sense. That's the point. So when you hear these descriptions, don't get discouraged. Women shouldn't think, oh my God, I'm an agent of Maya. Or the men shouldn't think, oh, they're agents of Maya. Durga Devis, you know, running around. Yeah, you won't even leave your house. I know, just like in New York years ago, and even I heard the same thing about London, that they wouldn't let the ladies chant japa. Some of you heard this story before. They wouldn't let the ladies chant japa in the temple room because the brahmacharis were afraid of them. Scary. Scary. Oh, my God. So, and then, yeah, Prabhupada, and they wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, what is this? This is not our system. So they're so agitated, they go to the forest. But if they go to the forest, there's no preaching because they're going out in the city every day and meeting so many ladies in their book distribution or whatever preaching they're doing. And I remember visiting the temple when it was like that. And, you know, I was going to the temple, and all the ladies were hanging out on the lamppost, basically. You know, seriously, hanging onto the lamppost, chanting japa outside. What are you all doing outside? We're not allowed in the temple room. And London is the same thing. What's that? Kielsen?
It still goes on,
yeah. You know, it's crazy. If people are so disturbed, it's really not due. According to this verse, let's go back to the Bhagavatam. If people are so disturbed, it's really not due to the ladies, or it's not due to the men if the women are disturbed. According to this verse, because the yogi is still tainted by lust and attached to the objects of sense gratification. That's the problem. The problem isn't the object of senses, of the senses. I mean, you can't blame a pizza for attracting you. You can imagine getting angry at a piece of pizza, you know. It's not the pizza's fault. And pizza doesn't have any consciousness anyway. It's because you have this kutta and the bija in your heart. We talked about this before. Kutta means the inclination for sense gratification. It's the idea, Krishna Bhati Mukh, you've turned your face away from Krishna, and you're attempting to imitate Krishna. And Krishna is there dancing with the gopis in the spiritual world, and you're thinking, I want some gopis too. And so, you know, some people are not satisfied with one gopi, they want many gopis. Anyway, so I wanted to tell some stories about this because these are interesting subject matters that we learned about when we took sannyas. So this sort of lust in the heart can bewilder even the demigods. And I was thinking of this story. You know, you think, oh, the demigods, they behave themselves. But here's some stories about the demigods. One story is the story of Soma. He's a really good demigod. And, you know, he became so lusty, he saw Brihaspati's wife. This story from the Bhagavatam. Brihaspati's wife was named Tara. And he kidnapped the wife of his spiritual master. I mean, can you imagine how what this lust does to someone? Avritam gyanam etena gyanino nityabhairina kama rupena kontiya dushparena elena cha, this is Bhagavad Gita. That one's intelligence becomes covered by this lust. Avritam gyanam etena, one's knowledge becomes covered. Gyanino nityabhairina, which always burns you. Kama rupena, it is known as the form of lust, kontiya. Dushparena analenacha. Of course, in the beginning, lust may just be manifest as pride, because as the subtle form of lust is profit adoration distinction. You know, thinking, I know more. Even that's lust, just thinking, I know more. You know, like I heard a story last night about some devotees. This is in Prabhupada Memories, which I listened to while eating prasadam. Some devotees approached Prabhupada thinking they knew more than Prabhupada. This devotee actually got kicked out. I can mention his name. It was Jamadagni. It was in Los Angeles. I mean, I wasn't in that room, but I was hearing the memory that his ex-wife was telling. It was a really interesting story. So he goes before Prabhupada and actually in a very challenging attitude, asks Prabhupada, what if we don't want to follow the GBC, you know? Like that. And he starts with something like that. And then he starts criticizing what Prabhupada is doing. And Prabhupada said, ultimately he said to this person, your duty is to enjoy the material world. And then the person asked, but you're my spiritual master, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you have no spiritual master. You know, just kick the guy out because the guy was so offensive. Anyway, so this pride, that's why we have this verse in the Shikshashika, Trinadapi Suniche Natarari Vasishana, Amanina Manadena Kirtini Asidari. One has to be more talented than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige in order to chant the holy names properly or continually. So this pride is actually a manifestation of lust, a subtle form. When one becomes, if one is humble, then one won't succumb to this lust. Humble in the sense of accepting Krishna, accepting the guru, and not thinking one's better than Krishna, one's better than the guru, one knows more than Prabhupada, for example. Anyway, so let's get back to the point. So Soma, he kidnapped Brihaspati's wife. Can you imagine your spiritual master? In the old days, the spiritual master was married. That was the traditional system. The spiritual master wasn't a sannyasi. Sannyasis would travel around and, you know, by traveling around, they wouldn't get attached to anything. So that it's described that you'd sometimes live under a different tree every night, except for Chaturmasya period when it rained a lot. Then they would actually engage in austere practices so they wouldn't get attached to the tree that they were living under. So, I mean, or the house, like Lord Chaitanya stayed with Venkata Bhatta in Sri Rangam. And obviously, during those 4 months, he engaged in austerities. So anyway, so they, generally the guru was like Grihasthas, which was a nice situation because he had a wife and everything. So Brihaspati had a wife, obviously, Grihastha. And his disciple stole his wife. That's how much lust is there, even in the heavenly planet. So anyway, so Soma stole the guy's wife. Not the guy, sorry. Brihaspati's wife. And then there was a big fight, and they brought in Lord Brahma and everybody to try to get her back to her husband. You know, because actually it's in the Vedic literature, it says if someone steals your wife, you can kill him. Did you know that? It's one of the injunctions. You can... Yeah. Yeah, there's that statement too. But anyone, it's also if someone steals your wife, someone sets fire, someone gives poison, then that person could be attacked. Of course, like one time in ISKCON, someone stole someone else's wife and the devotee planned how to murder him and he murdered him. And Prabhupada said that wasn't appropriate. It's if someone is in the act of kidnapping, that's one thing, not a premeditated thing that, you know, hey, and or if the wife goes with the guy voluntarily, it's another thing. So that's another subject matter. So anyway, so there's big fight and the demigods are fighting, taking different sides, you know, boom, 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 boom. Finally, you know, Tara is given back to Brihaspati, but she's pregnant. Problem. So this is such an interesting, it's in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and she gives birth to a kid and then both the men are claiming her, the kid. They're claiming, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. He's a very beautiful kid. I mean, I think his name was Buddha or something like that. Yeah. And they were fighting, fighting, fighting. Finally, it was ascertained, I think by Lord Brahma, that the kid belonged to Soma. And so Soma took him, the kid. And this is a continual story of lust from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm continuing the story, like the kid's kid. So this Buddha, he had a son named Pururava. And so, you know, Pururava also, like, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree of the father or the grandfather. So what happened is that Pururava also succumbed to lust in a very interesting way that's described in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That what happened is that Urvashi, one of the really nice upsaras from the heavenly planets, came down to the earth planet. Why did she come down? Because she had agitated Mitran Varuna, and she was cursed to come down to the earth planet, you know, because she was so attractive, whatever. And anyway, hopefully I get a chance to talk about how to overcome attraction at the end of class. We're not just going to tell racy stories throughout class. So anyway, so she comes down and Pururva falls madly in love with her because he has the tendency to sense gratification. It's not her fault. I just want to keep emphasizing that point. He has this tendency, the kuta and the bija. So he falls in love with her and says, oh, marry me. And she says, okay, under these conditions, only under the condition, basically, that I never see you without clothes, you take care of my little pet, not cats, lambs, and like that. And so, and you always feed me ghee. No olive oil, sunflower oil, or anything like that. Everything has to be cooked in ghee. This is true. I mean, it's from the Bhagavatam. All right, so he agrees. Okay. All right. And then, so he, you know, they're together for some time, but then Indra wants her back. So what is, because, you know, he's attached to her too. And so what Indra does, he sends down the Gandharvas on, I guess, a helicopter, celestial helicopter or something like that. And in the middle of the night, they kidnap the lambs, these lambs that are the property of Urvashi. So, and this Pururva is lying in bed with Urvashi, and she hears her lambs being kidnapped, and she says to Pururva, you know, what are you doing? You're just a wimp, a eunuch. My lambs are being stolen. And you're not doing anything. So he jumps out of bed, of course, naked, and runs after the lambs. And the Gandharvas, they have like a spotlight on the helicopter. So they shine the spotlight on this poor naked Purur over there. You know, he's out in the field and she sees him naked. And she says, I'm out of here. And so he becomes completely depressed. I mean, this is what happens with lust. Sorry. I'm starting to sneeze out of ecstasy. He becomes completely depressed, starts running all over the world looking for her. Finally, he finds her and she says, boy, you're really attached guy. And she says, all right, yeah, I can be with you one day a year. So the poor guy, the rest of the year, it's like waiting for Christmas to come. You know, like 350 days to Christmas, 349 days to Christmas. So he's counting down, you know, that's his Christmas. And he gets so disturbed. And after a while, she says, all right, if you do this particular type of worship, you'll get me all the time. But it's actually a clone that's created of her. You know the story, right? Yeah, it's a clone. They create a clone of her. And he realizes it's not her. And he gets more depressed. And finally, becomes the change of the yuga cycles when it goes from Satya to Treta Yuga. So to get her, he starts performing a big sacrifice, you know, and he considers one piece of wood to be him, another piece of wood to be her. The Irani wood, actually. And, you know, then he goes to the heavenly planets and I guess he rejoins her. So, and I don't know if they live happily ever after. So, I mean, you could see what lust does. And there are stories in the Bhagavatam how Ajamil gave up his spiritual practices, his good wife and his family, and started mistreating his parents. Squandered everything because of becoming lusty after someone. Vishramitra Muni, who several times lost it because of lust or anger. You know, the Menaka comes down and he just forgets about all of his meditation for many years, and Shakuntala is born. There's a whole other story about that. And then, of course, that's also connected to the story of Dushmanta, which I don't have time to tell. And Bart, who this kingdom is named, the earth is named after, or India is named after. And then Vishwamitra Muni another time, Ramba comes down and he, instead of succumbing to lust, he gets angry and, you know, either burns her or makes her disincarnate, and he loses his whatever. So the point of the story is, all right, how to deal with this lust, both from the standpoint of being a man or a woman. We have to be able to destroy or burn the bija, the seed of desire. And that seed of desire may not always be manifest, as we hear in this particular verse that we're reading, that when it's not the rainy season, the rivers or the ocean are not agitated. But the potential is always there, because when the rainy season comes. So we may appear, like a yogi may appear very, very peaceful. But if the inclination is there, it just takes a little stimuli to waken that inclination or to water the seed. It's called a bija, which is the same. Bija means seed. Nakuta means inclination. Bija means seed. So as Prabhupada gave the example, if you want to neutralize a seed, you have to fry it. Otherwise, you can take a chickpea that has been stored for 1,000 years or 5,000 years in the pyramids, and the chickpea will actually sprout again. Just like anybody who made sprouts knows you can keep the seeds in a jar, and then the seeds will actually sprout after some time, even though they're dry. So... but if you fry it, if you put them in a frying pan and just fry it, they're not going to sprout. So how do we fry the seed? We fry the seed by chanting the Lord's holy names. That's the only process. And so we have to chant purely. If we chant purely, and also if we hear about Krishna's pastimes from the proper person, like Prabhupada said, if you hear about Krishna's pastimes from the proper person, these pastimes will actually, or the hearing of the pastimes, will actually fry the seed and destroy this lust. Also, if you see the form of the deities and you see how attractive Krishna is, just like when I look and see how attractive Radha Golokananda are, then all the attraction I have for other things in this world, like a sunset or a sunrise or the chirping of the crickets, you know, it is nice to come out in the morning, the crickets are going cricket, 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 or the birds. It just becomes inconsequential. Like Rupa Goswami says in his sarcastic statement, if you would all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Krishna standing on the bank of the Keshi Ghat playing his flute. Just like if you were to hear Krishna's flute playing, you wouldn't want to hear any other type of music. That would be it, you know. Turn off the radio, you know, get rid of my MP3 collection. So that's the point. Raso Varjam Rasopyasa Param Trishranivartate. So by that Krishna consciousness, you see these desires, they just fade away, and the inclination to enjoy just fades away. And then the most attractive thing in this world could be presented to you, like a Tesla. So that's my Maya, sorry. Like, and then it's like nothing. It's inconsequential. You understand? That's Krishna consciousness. So that's the solution. Not harsh austerities. For who can I ta tapasad na yatich na chejya nirva panad grahadva na chandasa naiva jalagna suryar vanama hatpada vajobi shakam. And that's the point Prabhupada makes here. That you cannot become detached from this world by engaging in austerities. This is a verse spoken by Jatabhart in the Bhagavatam. Tapasa na yati, nor by taking sannyas, nor by putting yourself in fire in the middle of summer or swimming in a cold swimming pool in the winter. Actually, there's ice in the middle of the winter. Only by Rishekam, taking the dust of a great devotee. And that's exactly what Prabhupada says here, right at the end of his purport. It is therefore important to fix oneself at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master who is the representative of God, so that one will not be carried away by this sex agitation. This is actually Prabhupada's statement. Okay, thank you. All glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Govinda. Jai, Radha Lokananda. Jai. Govinda. Hare Krishna.
Govinda, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Gracias.